Today, this morning, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 to 27. And we're going to read this together, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 to 27. All right, in the count of three, let us read this together. 1, 2, and 3. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people. I might save some. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, alright, and say, tell your neighbor, alright, run to win like an athlete. God is on the move. And He's always on the move. God is on the move to bring hope. This morning, if you are in church, you're seeking for hope in your situation. God is here. He's on the move. God is on the move to help those who are in brokenness, to bring healing, to restore broken families, marriages. God is on the move to bring revival, not just Kuz here, but in the nation. He's on the move to heal the sick. He's on the move to bring restoration. And He's on the move for one purpose. And His purpose is to bring salvation and save all or those who call upon His name. And because God is on the move, and God is always on the move to save, Kuz must prepare to run along with Him. Kuz must position ourselves in such a way that we are in the blessing with God. We have to position ourselves that we are running this race together with God. And so this morning, how do we run the race that God has set before us? How do we run this race together with God and finish the goal that God has set before us? And so, I want to share with us three things this morning about how we ought to run this race together with God. And the first of all, I want to suggest to you, invest in the work of evangelism. Invest in the work of evangelism. Paul said that he was not someone who ran aimlessly, or fought like a boxer who boxed without aiming. He ran with a goal. He ran with an aim. And he had to do anything to spread the gospel so that he could save some. Although Paul might not be a professional athlete, he understood the mindset of an athlete. Because every athlete has a goal in mind. And they train hard towards that goal. And most importantly, every athlete, they train, they compete to win. In fact, the word athlete in Greek means the one who competes for a prize. For example, the last Olympic game at Rio was something very significant to many of us in Singapore because Joseph Schooling won the first ever Olympic gold medal for Singapore. I didn't win the Olympic gold medal because I'm Joseph Yu, you know. Unfortunately. But I want you to know that Joseph Schooling didn't win the medal overnight. He didn't like suddenly wake up one day and say to the parents, I want to swim. And then he jumped into the pool and swim. And then the next day he participated in the Olympic. And then he swim and then he won the gold medal. It didn't happen like that. It started with a dream. It started with a goal in mind. He wanted to be like his idol, right? Michael Phelps. He said, one day I want to be like him. So he has a plan. He has a goal. And most importantly, he was determined to finish well. And he invested all his time and energy, resources, in everything that he can do to win the gold medal. Paul might not have won any Olympic medal before. But there was no doubt he finished well in God's Olympic game. He has one goal in mind, a very clear goal. In Acts chapter 20 verses 24, he said, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. So it's very clear that he said, my life is nothing unless I do the will of God. And so what is the assignment that God has given to him? His assignment is to tell others about the good news and the wonderful grace of God. But Paul did not just have someone that has a goal, but he was very determined to finish well. Because in Timothy, he wrote to his disciple, he said to him, and just before he died, he said, I fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I had kept the faith. But what does it mean when he say, I had kept the faith? By keeping the faith, he means that his goal was to remain faithful to Christ and preach the gospel till he see Jesus again. So Paul has a very clear goal. Not just has a clear goal, he was very determined to finish. I think the last thing we want to see in our life as God's worker is that we disqualify ourselves before crossing the finishing line. Just a video to show us.
Allison is, Allison is bumped. Allison bumps into the Brazilian athlete, and that's what causes this botch.
You know, I want you to imagine the U.S. women's 4x100 meter team. They've been training all years, all time for this Olympic game. And they're one of the hot favorites, expected to win the medal. But on that day, something happened. The third runner dropped the baton and the whole team got disqualified. Jesus has given us a clear command to share the gospel to everyone till he comes again. And therefore, we want to hold on to our baton tight so that we won't drop it and disqualify ourselves. We have God has given us that baton to run the race, and we want to hold that baton tight and keep running till we see Jesus again. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't drop your baton. And there are a few good things I realize when we begin to work, put our hearts in the work of evangelism. At least for me, you know, when I begin to do the work of evangelism, few things happen in my life. And first of all, I learn to think less of myself and more of others. Because I need to understand people better in order to share the gospel with them. You know, so in order for me to share the gospel with them, I need to understand people. I need to understand their needs. I need to understand the common ground. I need to be more caring. I need to be sensitive to their needs so that I can find a platform to share the gospel. And I realize that as I'm doing that, I become more caring. I become more sensitive. I think less of myself and I think more of in the interest of other people more than me. So as I learned to do evangelism, I realized that God has changed me from inside out, helping me to be a more caring person. I also learned that when we do evangelism, you know, I need to be humble before God and pray. How many of us know evangelism is hard work? You know, sometimes we can put in so much time and resources into one person and we don't see any results. Sometimes it takes years to see a person to come to know Jesus Christ. And so we all know that evangelism is hard work. And don't even talk about bringing people to know Jesus Christ. Even harder. And so very often that at the situation, I have no choice but to bend my knee and begin to cry to the Lord. And ask the Lord to save those that I love. Ask the Lord to open their heart and soften their hearts so that they may come to know Jesus Christ. As you do evangelism, I also learned to read more, you know, to increase my Bible knowledge. I started to have more interest in the Word of God. You know, I went to theological studies many years ago. You know, it's not because I want to get ordained. It was at that point my youth ministry was growing. And I have youth who, you know, I have Christians and I also have non-believers and they are growing. And as they are growing, they have more questions and very often they want to find out more about the Bible. And I realized that many times when they ask me questions, I have no answer to give them. And I felt bad about that and I said to myself, it cannot carry on like that. I must do something to equip myself so that I can share the gospel with them. And so it's for that reason I decided to go to theological school and to equip myself so that I am able to share with them the Bible, the knowledge about God. I may not be able to answer every question, but I want to make sure that I'm equipped. So as I do evangelism, I also start to realize that I need to equip myself in the Word of God. So when you do evangelism, not just that you will learn to think less of yourself, you become more caring. Not just that you will learn to be humble and pray before God. And not just that there's a growth of interest in the Word of God. Most importantly, when you do evangelism, you have a story to tell. You have a story to share. You know, the man standing beside me was my ex-badminton coach. How many of us have heard about the story that I shared many months ago? I knew a few. Do we have a lot of new members in our midst today? I don't think so, right? I think I shared this a few times, you know. Can you show me some support or not? Okay, how many of us have heard this story before? Yeah, that's more like it, you know. How about we're in the morning, okay? Let's have some energy, alright? Now, I share with us, if you remember, right? I share with you about how I met my coach at Coos. During all my sermon, his daughter came up to me and asked me to share the gospel with her dad. And then I share with you, I went to meet him. And then in March, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere near end of March. And then he got baptized in May. And then he got confirmed as Coos member in September. Last October, he was called home to be with the Lord. It came as a surprise to me. It came as a shock to the family. Because he was looking okay. There's no sign that he's sick or anything. He was alright. But as I look back and reflect upon what has happened about, you know, in our journey with together, I could only thank God for His mercy and grace. And I believe my coming to Coos is not by chance, but God knew His timing. And He refused to give up on him. I heard from his children, Kelvin and Kim, both our church member, and they said to me they had been trying to convince him to accept Christ and get baptized. But whenever they bring this topic up to him, he will always tell them he's not ready. I believe I'm probably the last runner God sends to give him another chance to repent before his last lap on earth. And so through all this thing, I learned one lesson. God is always on the move to save His people. And sometimes, you might be the last runner for Him to save the person that God wants you to reach out to Him. So say to your neighbor, seize every opportunity to share. Let's do it again. Seize every... Because you might be the last runner to save that person. So when God gives you an opportunity to share, don't hesitate. Don't delay. Even if you feel that you are inadequate, it's okay. When God has given you the opportunity to share, do it. Because you might be the last runner that God saved. God sent to save that person. So God is on the move. And God is always on the move. And for us, we need to position ourselves so that we can run along with God. So that we can move along with Him. And we do it by invest in the work of evangelism. Secondly, we train ourselves to become an evangelist. Paul said, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And then he continued and said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Nowadays, gym is getting very popular. You agree with me? Not just to the young, even to the old. It's become more and more popular. I saw many young people with tower, sign up as a membership, went to the gym and do training. To train their body so that it may look fit and slim and good. I saw some, in order to do that, I saw some that even control their diet. They had to discipline their diet. They had to be very careful with what they eat and discipline their body so that they can achieve their goal. But I was saying this to Pastor Mark. You know Pastor Mark? So I said to Pastor Mark that this program does not suit him. I said he needs to eat more. But why these people train and discipline their body? Because they know it very well. Without discipline, without training, they cannot reach their goal. Many people refer to Billy Graham as a great evangelist. And we say Billy Graham is a great evangelist because when he preached, thousands of people gave their life to Jesus. When he preached, thousands of people rushed to the front and gave their altar call, when he made the altar call. But in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, he is only one of the evangelists. There were many evangelists who worked behind the scene. Those who brought their friends to the rally, they are too an evangelist of God. Those who planted and sowed the seed of love, they are too the evangelists of God. And even those who suffer for the sake of the gospel, even those who are persecuted because they share the gospel, they are the evangelists of God. You and me, all of us, we are called to be the evangelists of God. Although everyone is called to be the evangelists of God, we still need to invest our talent and train ourselves to become an effective evangelist for the gospel. You know, in the Bible, there are five crowns awaiting for those who use their talent for the sake of the gospel. And these are the areas we need to be trained. Or we need to train ourselves. In Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25, those who train themselves to be godly, those who train themselves to love and strive for Jesus through words and action, you will receive the crown of life. In that context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25. Because the context is talking about godliness. And so when you train yourself to be a godly example, today, congratulations to you, you are receiving the crown of purity. For some of us today, if you are training yourself to endure suffering for the sake of the gospel, either because you are under persecution or rejection, you will receive the crown of life. You can find that in Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. For those who put their hope in Jesus, waiting for His second coming and believing that those who wait faithfully will be rewarded by Christ, you will receive the crown of righteousness. You can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. And for some of us who train yourself to serve others and to care for others, I want to congratulate you. You will receive the crown of glory. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 2 to 4. For some of us who train themselves to share the gospel and to win soul for the kingdom of God, I want to congratulate you. You will receive the crown of joy. And you can find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. God is on the move. So if your talent is pastoring, practice it. If your talent is teaching, practice it. If your talent is sales or in the marketplace, practice it. If your talent is in arts, practice it. If your talent is singing, practice it. But use it to touch life. Use it to influence those around you. Use it to share the gospel. Use it as a platform for you to reach out to others who need to know Jesus. And do it with a sincere heart. Do it with love. And do all you can for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God. God is on the move. We need to position ourselves by investing in the work of evangelism. God is on the move. And we need to get prepared, equip, and train to be an effective evangelist. And last but not least, run to win the prize for His glory. Paul says that, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Paul ran all he could, not for his own glory, but to win the prize for the glory of God. How many of us signed up for the futsal games 1 month ago or 2 months ago? How many of us were there? It's seriously, nobody played the futsal game organized by our men at Kush. Seriously? I think we need to do some exercise, my friends. All right, anyway, all right, there was a futsal game organized by men at Kush, and a few months ago, so I signed up for fellowship, and I probably want to take the opportunity to know more people. So they asked me to join the team called the Combined Team. And this team is really a combined team. It is a combined team because in our team, we consist of some very young players. 13 years old, 14, 15. And also some really old players. You know, like those that almost reached the age of retirement. So it's a very wide range of players in the team. I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, even though we have the youngest players and we have those who are going to retire, so can you imagine, you ask them to compete with like JC students, the young people. Can you imagine, you expect them to run the kind of speed, to, you know, the kind of agility. Imagine that. It's going to be very, very tough. But you know what? Even though we are not on the advantage side, we didn't lose heart. We didn't lose heart because we were old. We play like Caleb and David. You can throw pebble, we'll throw pebble. Right? If the mountain to climb, we'll climb the mountain. You know, we use all we can to try our best to play against our giant and try our best to defeat our giant. And we believe, we pray and we believe that in God, all things are possible. And by the grace of God, you won't believe it. We came in last. But friends, we didn't lose a game. If you think we lost a game, we didn't lose a game. Because we were all out trying to be obedient to our Lord Jesus' commands. Because Jesus said, the last shall be first. So we were obedient to the Lord. And you know what? The winner had some shopping vouchers. And we are part of the contribution. Because the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, so friends, I want us to know we didn't lose the game, alright? We were obedient to the Word of God. And the champion team, they will get a trophy. Then I realized, after they took the picture, the chairman went to them and said, can you please return back my trophy? I need it for next year. Now, although it was just some shopping vouchers and the trophy that they cannot keep, I saw every player, the young and old, they play with all their hearts out to win. They were very, very serious and they really bopanchan. They don't care about your age. They can tackle you and they will tackle you. If you were there, you will see some of the old guards and see how they fly around. You won't believe it. They play all their hearts out to win, even though they are just some shopping vouchers and trophies they cannot keep. But how much more for those who belong to the Lord? How much more for us who belongs to the Lord, that we are not running for something that is perishable, but the imperishable crown, the eternal prize. You know, I'd like to give us three reasons to encourage you why we should run all out for His glory. And the first reason is, the faithful will be rewarded. This is a true story, happens in Barcelona in 1992 Olympic Games. Derek Redmond was one of the hot favorites to win the 400 meter goal. During the semi-final, as the gun banged, he ran at the mark of the 100 meter. Derek Redmond suddenly squatted down. And it was a pain in his face. Then they realized that he tore his hamstring. Even though he was in pain, everybody was running ahead of him. In fact, most of them, they're almost reaching the finishing point. Even though he was in pain, he refused to give up. He wanted to finish the race. So he hopped with one leg. Each step at a time, in pain. Every time when the pain went beyond what he can bear, he will squat down and rest, and then you continue to hop again. And then suddenly, in the crowd, a man rushed out, trying to run towards him. So the security guard, they all tried to stop him from running to Derek. But this man pushed everyone aside. And he ran to him and he hugged this man. I mean Derek. That man was Derek's father. As he was hugging his son, he told his son, he doesn't have to do this. But the son said to the father, I must finish the race, with his tears on his face. And then the dad put his hand over his shoulder, he carried Derek, his son, and then they started hopping one step, helping his son to finish the race. At the last few meters, he let go of his son so that Derek could finish the race. Although Derek missed the goal, he won the cheers of thousands that day. And today, his story continues to remain as an inspiring story for many who are going through difficult time and feel like giving up. His story remains as an inspiration for many of us. In the Olympic game, only those who comes in first, second, third, probably will win the medal. You maybe win the gold, silver, or bronze. But my friends, in the kingdom of God, in God's Olympic game, the reward belongs to all and to those who run faithfully. And so we run faithfully because we know our Father in heaven is a faithful rewarder. Maybe some of us today, you come to church in pain. Something has happened in your life. Maybe friends have disappointed you. Something is going through in your life and you come to church in pain. And it's so painful at that point. You feel like giving up your race. You feel like walking away. You feel like stop praying. I want to encourage you, my friend, this morning, press on. I want to encourage you this morning, stand firm. Remain faithful and run the race. Because God the Father, our Father in heaven, promised to each one of you, He will never leave you alone. I want you to know that when you are in pain, our Father in heaven, He will run to you and He will rush to you. And He will carry you and He will make sure that you will continue to run the race. And so let us don't give up. Even you are in pain today, you don't give up. Let us be faithful. If we have to hop, we hop. If we have to walk, we walk. If we have to crawl, we crawl. We just have to keep going and keep moving because we believe that our God is faithful. And He is a great rewarder to those who show His faithfulness, to show our faithfulness to Him. So I want to encourage us, run faithfully. And the second reason I want to encourage you, run all out to win the prize for Jesus, because we sow in pain, but we will reap in joy. This picture is my parents, my dad, my mom, beautiful smile. As you can see, my dad is getting older. The forehead is getting more shining. I think I shared with us before, my father was a medium. And for 20 over years, it has never been easy for me to share the gospel with him. In fact, I don't really share the gospel with him, except trying to live out my life through my, trying to share the gospel through living out my faith in Christ. So for 20 over years, it was really a challenge. You know, initially, my dad, his heart is like really like a rock. Very, very hard. You know, whenever you talk about Jesus, you talk about Christ, he will definitely say something back to criticize about Christianity, or he will say something to put me down. That was him. That is his perception of Christianity. He was very hard against Christianity, against Jesus. But you know, over the years, 20 over years, today, I've seen how the Lord has changed my father's heart from a man who is, the heart is so hard like a rock, till today, when I talk to him about Jesus Christ, he will not attack me anymore, but he's willing and be open to hear my sharing. Few months ago, the Lord prompted my heart and said to me, it's time to share the gospel with my dad. I was a little bit panicked because I never thought I'll be the one to share the gospel with him. I don't mind to leave up the example for him to see how good God is. But to share the gospel is something I never thought I could do it. I thought it's better to get a pastor to come in to share with him. But the Lord said to me, no, I want you to go. And so I shared with my wife, and in obedience, we went together. And I want to share with us, you know, some of us who are trying to reach out to your parents, you need to have a strategy. Alright? You don't just go to your parent and then you say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. They will close the door. You must have a strategy. And the strategy is always bring them out for dinner. Chinese love to eat. Love to eat. Alright? Bring them out for dinner. So we brought them out for dinner. And over the dinner, alright, we talk, we check. And you know, they will love to share about their life. So we listen. And so after our dinner, I told them, you know, we want to send them home and we want to pray a blessing over them. I was wondering what my dad would say. And to my surprise, he said yes. So I look at my wife, is that God's sign? So we went. So we went to the house, we sit down. As usual, the first half an hour, you must give them the space. So they will start to talk about story again. And we have to listen patiently. And then, after a while, we found the time is right. So I say, Dad, can I pray a blessing over you? Also with my mom. And they say, okay. So I pray a blessing over them, and then I begin to share with them my desire of why I want them to know Jesus Christ. I share with them my love for them. I help them to understand where I'm coming from. I didn't really share with them about John 3:16. I just want them to know that I love them. And I just want them to know that why I want them to believe in Jesus Christ. And my dad's response was very encouraging to me. He has not openly confessed that he wants to be a Christian yet. But he said this to me and to my wife. He said, eventually, I will follow your faith. Now this is a big breakthrough for my dad. Because he will never say something like that. But it's today, that day he said, I will follow your faith eventually. I do not know who Jesus is. But I trust you. And because I trust you, I trust your God. Because I've seen how God is living in you and your wife's life. I got a shock. I didn't know that my dad has been watching me even though I've grown up. He has been observing my life all this year. And by the grace of God, God has protected me. They continue to see only the good side of me. But it was a breakthrough for my dad. God is great. God is great. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clear offering, shall we? I want to give the honor to God. I want to give the glory to God. God has changed my life. So, you know, my friend, if you're reaching out to your loved one, it's your parents, your sibling, your children, your grandparents, if you're reaching out to them and you have been so in tears, I want to encourage you, press on, because you will reap in joy. Last but not least, we want to run all out to win for Jesus, because He has given us His all. Jesus has given us His all. Jesus gave His life, His precious life, His all. He suffered on the cross, He died on the cross, carry our shame. He gave His all so that today we could be free from sin. And today we can be here and worship Him. God the Father gave His all to us. He did not hold back His Son to save us. He gave His all by giving His precious Son to die on the cross. And so we run to win. We run all out for Jesus because we know that God who began a good work in us, He will continue to give His all to to help us and to run with us until we see Jesus again. And so we give our all to Jesus because we know that God will give His all to us. You know, in the Olympic game, doesn't mean that you train hard, you will win the medal. Doesn't mean because you train hard, you will win the game. But in the kingdom of God, in God's Olympic, there is a promise. When we run for Jesus, when we give all out to Jesus, it is a sure win in Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking, what is it like when I finish my race on earth and I'm in heaven right now? I wonder, have you ever thought about that? I was thinking, what is it like if I finish my race and I'm in heaven right now? Will there be a grand podium in heaven for Christians to receive the crowns? So I think, will there be a podium for us to stand on the podium and receive the crown? Then I found this verse in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, Apostle John said, in his vision he saw the 22 elders fall down and cast their crowns before God and the Lamb upon His throne. Instead of receiving crowns, they laid out their crowns and crowned the one with many crowns, Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, why? And I try to understand why. Why the elders lay their crown before Jesus? And I think this is what really light when we run faithfully for the Lord. I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine when you arrive in heaven. Just imagination. Imagination. When you arrive in heaven, you know, when you arrive there, I think the first thing you see, you will see all the angels waiting for you. All the angels waiting to welcome you. They will clap. They will cheer. They will celebrate with you. Some of them may play some harp, you know. Tring, tring, tring. They welcome you and say, welcome home. And so when you reach there, you see all the angels, they were there to welcome you. And as you walk further and begin to enter the hall of faith, then you see a group of people standing on your left, on your right, and they all look at you and they smile at you, and some of them say thumbs up, some of them clap for you, some of them say good and well done. And I believe that this group of people, those who thumbs up and clap for you and say well done, I believe this group of people are people who have invested their resources in your life. They are people who have invested in your life. They are people who have shared the gospel with you. They are the people who, when you are down, they were there cheering for you. And so when they see you run faithfully, they are very happy for you. So they cheer for you and say, well done. And then as you pass through the second crowd, you're going to the third crowd, and you're going to see again on the left, on the right. And this time there are many people, they smile at you, some even in tears. You saw that face of gratitude, that face of gratefulness. These are the people, I believe, that you have invested your life in them. And so you need to invest your life in people. Because if not, when you're in heaven, you want to make sure that your queue is not too short. So how long is the queue? It depends on how many people you have invested today. Make sure you don't keep the queue small. Turn to your neighbor, make sure you have a long queue, right? And now, after you pass through the crowd, now you reach the throne of God. Seeing Jesus seated at the right hand of God, there is no podium. But when you see Jesus, you will kneel down and bow like the other elders. Why? Why when you see Jesus, you will bow down and put your crown before Christ like the other elders? Because the greatest honor in heaven is Jesus Christ Himself. The one who is crowned with many crowns. So when you are in the presence of God, when you see Him, you won't ask for the crown. but you will lay down your crown before Jesus. You know, this is the ultimate price Paul was eyeing at. This is the highest goal that Paul was eyeing at. He was not just running for his own glory. He was not just running to receive crowns for his own. You know, Paul ran to win the praises of one who is crowned with many crowns, Jesus Christ. To run and win the praise of the one who gave his life for him. To run and win the praise of the one who gave everything for him. To run and win the praises of the one who has changed his life and transformed his life. And Paul did it because the love of Christ compels him. Paul did it because without Jesus, he is nothing. And Paul did it because he was convicted that there is no salvation but the name of Jesus. You know, friends, in life there are many goals. I think it's okay. You want to do well for studies. You want to do well for career. I think it's all right. These are the goals and the blessing that God has given for us. But we must know there's a difference between temporal goal rewards and eternal rewards. And I want to encourage us, my friend, this morning, set a higher goal for yourself. Set a higher goal for yourself. Run for the higher price. Run for the higher price. The price of winning the praises of the one who is crowned with many crowns, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be the goal of our life. Let that be the desire of our life. Let that be the aim of our life. Let it be the motivation of our life. That in every step that we do, in everything that we do, that in our running, we run to win the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let His glory be our greatest reward, because Jesus deserves it all. He deserves it all. No one else in this world deserves that glory, but only our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His all to you, to me, and to the world. So friends, may I invite us to stand as we're coming to the close. We're going to worship Him right now. If you have not been running your race, pursuing for the highest goal, the glory of God, the praises of the one who is crowned with many crowns, I would like you right now, put that in your heart. Say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to run my race. Not just for my own glory. Not just to win the crown from Jesus. Help me to run the race and finish the race well. And to win the praises of the one who is crowned with all crowns. My Lord, my Jesus, who gave His all for me. So shall we open up our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ right now? Let us just pray to Him right now. And as we pray to Him, let us say, Lord, You are worthy of it all. Amen.
You are worthy of it all.
Let's worship Him.
You are worthy of it all.
Let's open our hearts, sing from our hearts. And say to Him, Lord, You are worthy of it all. That's right, Lord.
To You are all.
Yes, Jesus.
You deserve the glory. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. To You are all things.
I pray for some of us within your families, maybe your parents, maybe your sibling, maybe your children, maybe your grandparents, someone within the families that's not received Jesus yet, and you've been praying for them and been asking the Lord to touch their hearts. I want to pray for you right now. And so, can you do me a favor? If there's someone in your family has not come to know Jesus yet, you want to pray for them, can you put up your hands? Wow. There's so many of us. You know, the Lord sees our hands today. The message is for you, my friends, today. God is on the move. He's going to touch those people you have been praying for. And we're going to believe it this morning. We're going to believe it this morning that the Lord is going to touch them. The Lord is going to speak to them. There's going to be a breakthrough. You'll get a breakthrough. They'll be so in tears. But you'll reap joy. Hallelujah. Father, you see our hands, Lord. You see our hands, oh God. They are our loved ones. They are the people, Lord, that we love. And Lord, they are the people you love too. And they are the people, Lord, we want them to know. We want them to know more about you. And so, Lord, we commit them into your hand. I want to encourage you right now, call them by names. Whoever that's in your heart right now, why don't you call them by name and then pray to the Lord and dedicate it to the Lord and pray for that person right now. Just take a minute to do that. Pray for that person that you want to reach out to, that you love. Call them by name and then commit them to the Lord. Let's take a minute to pray for them right now. Hallelujah. Kurapaka shandarapaka shikiyarapaka shandarapaka. Let us raise our voice and pray for them right now. Let us believe and have faith in God that God is on the move. That God is going to do something new and to break through in their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Kurapaka shandarapaka shandarapaka. So, Father, to all the names that were given to you, it's like the incense, they'll rise to heaven, but it will come down to them, oh God. So I pray, Father, for them, that today, as we leave this place, by your grace and mercy, Lord, there's going to be a breakthrough. Something is going to change in their hearts. Something is going to change in them, oh God. That it might be someone who's very hard, they're so hard against you. Something is going to change today, oh God. Their hearts will be opened to receive you as a Lord and Savior, oh God. Lord, they are going to call upon the name of Jesus and you are going to save them, oh God. So Father, we commit them into your hand. We thank you, oh Father. Praise you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as we close today, before we leave, we're going to sing our last songs. There is going to be a great awakening. There's going to be a great awakening. Let us sing by faith and declare and give thanks to God. There's going to be a great awakening in your family, in your workplace, in Coos, and in this nation. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Empower us to be your light and salt on this earth. Let your light shine through us in our speech, in our conduct, in our life. Empower us, O Lord, the courage and the faith. Lord, in the midst of difficulties, Lord, we will stand firm and remain faithful. Empower us, O God, to run this race for your glory and for your kingdom. Empower us to run till we see you face to face and to win the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God, the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, be with us all and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The service is over. God bless you all.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.